Hello and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, a conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. New episodes are released the first Monday of the month. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hello.
And Denise, please let all the podheads know who's joining us this month.
We have Rude Dog.
I still need to bring back those sound effects for sure.
Yes, dude.
Yeah. Like, we still have like a dog barking for the Rude Dog.
Yeah.
And yeah, we used to have like the horn. Yeah, anyways, whatever. We'll bring them back eventually. Hey, potheads. We interrupt this regularly scheduled program for just a few notes. A little peek behind the curtain, as I like to say. So we recorded this episode with the Rude Dog a few months ago now. But don't worry, it's as evergreen as ever. We're professionals here at the LPP. We know what we're doing.
That's why there's a banda going on in the background.
Yes, if you can hear that, you know, again, we always mention it on the pod. You know, we record from home, so you'll hear the sounds of South Montebello from time to time. But anyways, there are a few big announcements that we need to update everybody on since we recorded the episode, and I'll let Denise take it away.
You guys, I read a lot about synchronicity in The Artist's Way, and I think it was just synchronicity that No Application Fee and Roma Part are playing together at Alex's Bar September 7th. They said, Defer, it's your birthday. They said, Denise, it's your birthday. I'm just kidding. I mean, it's going to be my birthday, but yeah, they're playing together and it's going to be awesome. Bring your mother-in-laws.
Hell yeah, very excited for that show. Is this the first time that No App and Roma Part play a show together?
Yes, dude.
Now, granted, as of this recording, No Application Fee is still looking for a horn player. So
yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Fingers crossed, everybody.
I know. And also, we kind of just threw it out there that I wanted to have a party, like a wrestling party for my birthday. And that is going to happen. We're having a luchador party. Everyone's gonna come in their best stretchy pants, and yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
These kids are very excited for this luchador party and Roma party.
Also, we mentioned that Mick Foley is doing his tour of 40 years of Foley, and he was playing Irvine, like the improv in Irvine, and I was like, dude, that's too far. Mick Foley is also playing or performing, whatever, doing this show at the Ice House, which I love. And I got tickets. Rod said, it's your birthday month. I'm going to buy you just one meet and greet ticket. So I get to give him my CD with the song Mick Foley on it and take a picture and maybe have something signed. So yeah, looking forward to that in October.
Yeah, I'm just going to be waiting outside while Denise does the meet and greet, you know. These are hard times right now, everybody. I can't afford two meet and greets. So we're excited about that. And this is still a little ways away, but the first Monday of October, Denise, what are you doing? No, I'm sorry. No, it's the last Monday of September.
The last Monday of September. I am featuring at the Angry Horse in Montebello. I'm going to play my EP straight through. Yep, got a new EP coming out. Should be out in September sometime before the 29th. And yeah, just a few songs. The actual EP is going to have C-Flow doing backup vocals on a song. It's going to have Caesar of Eastside Agents doing trumpet on a couple songs. So I'm very excited. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I hope the producer does a good job producing and mixing my music. Is it you get what you pay for?
You get what you pay for, exactly.
Damn it.
So how much are you paying, Denise?
Well, we already know my fee or your fee or whatever. So
what is that? Ask, gas, or grass, baby? No one writes for free. No one mixes for free. Also, this is a very DIY project. So whenever I get stressed out about like, oh my God, this is going to sound like crap, yada, yada, yada. I always think back to those first few Mountain Goats albums. And I'm just like, dude, John Darnielle fucking recorded like the first 5 or 6 or 10 Mountain Goats albums, like on a cheap 4-track player. They sound like shit. And he was like, you know what? This is it. This is what it's supposed to sound like. So yep. I'm just channeling that energy. So
In 2025, that's what it's supposed to sound like.
So look forward to that, everybody. Anyways, we've taken enough time away from the rude dog. So yeah, let's get back to the show. Everybody. Oh, that was it, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to the show. Rude dog, shout out to you. And thanks again for being on the show. And enjoy this one. It's really good. We talk about a bunch of fun stuff. I think you're going to dig it. So yeah, let's check it out. Anyways, Rude dog, welcome to the show. How you been?
Great. It's great to be back.
Long time no see. How's everything?
Everything is going good. Great to be back in studio in a secret location. Wait, is this a secret location? It's a new location.
No, we've been here.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's LPP Studios 2.0.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a different room in the studio, I guess.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets to come to this room, so I'm on.
Yeah. Not everybody gets the air conditioning. Facts. These are facts. Yeah, Rudy, so it's been a while. The last time you were here was December 2022.
Wow.
So it was a long time ago.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. And
what was the topic then?
What was it?
I don't remember.
Second takes or second chances or something like that. So it was like a song by a band that you didn't like at first.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. And then you gave them a second chance and you're like, oh, yeah, I love this band. Yeah. So we did that one.
Okay.
So since then, I think we've had all the OGs back at least once. So you were the only one that we were like, we got to have the Root Dog back on. He's only been on once since we brought the pod back. And I thought it would be very fitting to have it be this episode because technically this is our 300th episode. Wow. Bam, 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 bam. I don't have sound effects. I got to get the sound effects.
You can add it in later.
Yeah. So for all the OGs, this is technically our 300th episode. Denise and I started the podcast way back in September 2009.
Wow.
And it took us over 10 years to get to 300 episodes. So yeah, back in the day, we definitely took a lot of breaks in between. We weren't as consistent. We were consistent for a while and then we fell off because we just got burned out on it. And then we got rid of it and then we brought it back with like a different format. And then we got rid of that and then we brought it back again. And then so now we're back. This is our 300th episode. We're very excited to get this one going.
You remember Ustream? We lost all those episodes.
Oh, yeah. I was so mad about that. So way back before there was Twitch or whatever else the kids are using to stream live
YouTube.
Nowadays.
Yeah,
YouTube Live and all that. There was Ustream. And Stephanie, former podcast member Stephanie, she was like, hey, we should try Ustream. Because Stephanie always has this whole vision in her head that she wants to do like live internet stuff. So she was ahead of her time for sure. And so we tried Ustream. We did, I think, maybe like 5 or 6 episodes.
In like the converted garage back room of my parents' house.
Yeah. We did it back there. And we had like a table. I think it was the ironing board, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We had the ironing board with like a sheet over it to make it look like a desk. And it was very cringe, as the kids say nowadays.
It was a lo-fi.
It was lo-fi, yeah. And I always meant to just record the audio of those episodes.
Yeah.
Because we never backed those up. Those just went live and that was it. And then, you know, put them out as like audio episodes, but I never did. And then Ustream went away and so did those episodes. So we had one episode with Mark and Rochelle.
I know.
Back then. Anyways, people don't know who they are, so it doesn't matter.
His first ex-fiance.
Yes. Oh, shit.
He's on number 3 right now.
Yeah. But anyways, good time. So the podcast has been around for a long time, is basically what we're saying for all the people that are new to the show. We're just going to have a good time here on our 300th episode, technically. We're glad to have you here for it, Rudy.
Yeah. Well, we were talking before the episode, and I was saying to, I believe you and Denise, how I feel you guys truly were innovators because you guys were religiously faithful to recording the podcast back in the day. And even I think there was less listeners. It wasn't as popular. I know I used to listen, but you know, me and maybe a handful of other friends, and every Sunday or every, they had to go home and record the podcast. You guys weren't even here at her parents' house. And I was like, man, they're the only ones that I know that have a podcast. And now everyone has a podcast. People who shouldn't have a podcast have one. And so I really feel you guys were innovators, maybe not the inventors, but definitely original, ahead of your time. So I commend you both for your dedication throughout the years. And I know I met you guys, if you started in 2009, maybe 2010 or 2011. So it's been a while too that I've known you. Because you said if you've been friends with Stephanie for 20 years, I believe you have, because I've known you guys. I think I was 30 something. I'm 50 now.
So oh my God.
The Rude Dog has turned 50. The big 5-0. So I remember meeting you, like, okay, I was maybe in my mid-30s and 10 years ahead of you both. And I'm like, then I turned 40 and now I'm 50. So I need to slow down.
Yeah, I just turned 40, so I'm feeling it.
You're a pup.
And actually, we met you through the podcast. No, Sin brought you as a guest on the pod. Wasn't that the case?
No. We met. It was her birthday and she wanted to go bowling. Oh, no, she wanted to go to golf and bowling, and we went, and then she's like, you want to go to golf and stuff? And I'm like, that's more like a date thing. And I think we met up at Del Rio Lanes. That's when I don't think we bowled, but that's where I first met you guys.
I don't remember.
And then from there, I hit it off with Denise and she requested me on Facebook, and I was like, man, this girl's cool. But I felt weird. Like, I'm only her friend. So I think I requested Rod. So <there'd> be-
Keep things copacetic.
Yeah. And it was just like instant, friendship. And then I remember Sin saying, hey, you spend more time with Rod and Denise than I do. And I was like, hey, well, you're in New York and I'm over here. You know, they're good people. So
shout out to Sin, back in California now. So Sin, whenever you want to be on the pod, hit us up. Rude Dog, why don't you let all the folks know what theme you... Oh, actually, no.
Yeah,
we chose
sorry.
The theme for you this time. Okay. Denise, I guess you can tell everybody why we chose this theme.
So when we had Charles on, the way that we met Charles was we just started talking about wrestling. When we invited him on the podcast, we really thought he was going to pick the topic of like, what's your wrestling like theme song? Like, if you could pick your wrestling intro song, what would it be? But he went a different way. So yeah, but we were like, Rod and I were already set on like, we were already thinking of our wrestling songs. And I was like, dude, I just want to do that episode. So who can we invite over to like do that episode? So I was like, Rudy. We hit up Rudy and the theme is wrestling intros. Do you have the official title yet or no?
I was just going to call it Wrestling with Rudy.
Yeah.
Wrestling with the Rude Dog.
And to be clear, to clarify, it's not, I was under the impression we're going to use songs that are already in place, like the DX intro song.
Oh, like your favorite.
Or Stone Cold. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then Denise said, no, the song that you would pick as an original, as your entrance song. And I was like, okay, yeah. that's a good take too. But I really felt honored to be chosen for this topic because, like I mentioned with Denise, there's a lot of things we have in common. And when I was growing up, obviously older than you guys, wrestling was everything to me. And then I lost touch for a lot of years and I got back as an adult loving Stone Cold and the Monday Night Raw, Monday Night Wars, and all the feelings, all the emotions, everything came back. And so I've always had an appreciation and infatuation with wrestling, not as much anymore, but so there's a lot of good memories. And so I really wanted to pick a song that would resonate with what I would want to be remembered for, or when you hear the music, hey, we know who's coming out.
Yeah. So before we get to the meat and potatoes, if you'd like to share your wrestling entrance song, hit us up via email feedback@lppod.com or slide into the DMs on Instagram @thelppod. Rude Dog, if people want to share some of their wrestling intro songs with you, can they do that and where can they do that?
They can do that. I'm on the socials. Not as much as I'd like to be. No particular reason. Just getting busy with work. I never understood people when they would say, I don't have time for social media. I'm too busy living life. I'm like, who doesn't have time for Facebook? But honestly, I find myself just busy with work and not worrying about certain things. And I enjoy going on. I just don't go on as much as I used to. But on Facebook, it's just my name, Rudy Menchaca Jr. And on Instagram, it's @itsTheRudeDog. And that's about all I do for socials.
And Denise, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
@DeeferMusic, DeeFur Music on Instagram.
All right. And one last bit of housekeeping before we get started. We do our best here at The Listening Party to record quality audio, but we do it from the comfort of our home, aka the LPP Studios 2.0. So every now and then, the sounds of the neighborhood might bleed through, or you might hear Kopi barking at somebody or her nail scratching on the hardwood or something. So just close your eyes and pretend you're here. It's immersive audio, everybody. You know, all the kids are into ASMR now. So just pretend it's some ASMR. Let it tickle your butthole or something. I don't know. All right. And let's get to the songs. So we like to make a guest sandwich. And Denise and I take turns being the crown, I think, from my Carl's Jr. days.
Okay.
The top of the burger is the crown and the bottom is the heel, which kind of goes with wrestling.
Yes, it does.
So, Denise, you're the crown this month. Go right ahead. Let us know what song you chose and why you chose it.
So I thought I had my song. Like when we were just like, dude, wrestling theme songs, what is it? Like this song came to mind because it's just like epic. Like I picture this one scene from a movie. It does have build. Rudy and I were already talking about this.
You guys were supposed to save it for the podcast. Just kidding.
This is the honorable mention though. So honorable mention because I like the build and I wanted something like, what's the theme for Gypsy Kings? Like what's like Latin, I guess?
Oh, okay. Like something
like,
yeah,
flamenco,
Latin, I guess.
Like
a Latin
flair. Classic guitar, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like classical guitar. So I really wanted, God damn it. What's the song?
I know. Oh, Hotel California.
Yeah. Hotel California by the Gypsy Kings, right? Because, I mean, obviously, if you guys know, like, I love the Big Lebowski and I love the one scene with the Jesus, like, John Turturro.
Yes.
Where, yeah, like, he just, like, starts jumping back and forth, you know, and he does, like, the thing with the ball and he's bowling. But, like, I just, like, imagine that, like, build. And then when that, like, it really hits you, like, I think it's, like, about a minute in. And then, like, the vocals start. And then just like, I just imagine like going through the curtain and then just like jumping like back and forth, like freaking John Turturro and the Big Lebowski. So I really thought like that was going to be the song. But then I was like, is it too low in the beginning? Uh-huh. But I was like, but I do like that build. And then I just like, I was like, although it's current, like it's a newer song. It's by a local artist that I love. If I was a wrestler, like back in the DX days or whatever, I would want this song, even though it's about a guy, like, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This just like fit my little DX, like obsessed, like personality when I was in junior high and high school. So I went with Nasty Boy by No Application Fee. To me, that's the perfect intro. It's classic when you hear that bass. It's like, oh shit, like here comes.
Right, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, you know, whoever's coming out is coming out. You know what I mean?
And somebody's coming out.
The drums hit, and then there's the trumpet. The lyrics fit perfectly. And then there's that little bit of Spanish in there. And I imagine, I think it was,
John Cena.
Shawn Michaels. When he does like the little strut, like with his arms and his legs, like, and he just struts down. No.
Oh, Ric Flair does that too then.
Oh yeah, Ric Flair. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I guess it's a lot of people.
A lot of people do.
Okay. And I feel like I would have timed it out to the part where it's like with the wah-wah. Uh-huh. Like I would be like bouncing on the ropes at that point. Okay. Yeah. So trust me, this is my song. I'm probably way too excited to explain that to you.
I dig it.
Guys, but that's my jam.
All right.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of like a combination of like DX with like Latino Heat.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. So you got both crowds right there. So I think it'll be a people pleaser for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have a costume in mind? Like, do you know how you're dressing up or you didn't get that far?
No, I didn't get that far.
All right. Fair enough.
Probably a flannel, but like flannel. Mick Foley inspired. Oh,
Jesus. You're ticking all the boxes. You got the Mick Foley, you got the DX, the Latino Heat.
Yeah.
Coming out in a lowrider. Rudy, what'd you think about the song?
It's funny that Denise mentioned the bass because that's the first thing that grabbed me. I was like, man, that's a really nice bass part. And it's my fault for not knowing more about their music. I know you've had them on the 110 podcast. Or maybe we're not supposed to mention other podcasts on this show, but I know you've mentioned them and that sounds really good. And the bass is like, wow. And to me, it reminds me of Latino Heat because he can either be a bad guy or a bad guy that's likable. And that song has that, like, it's a feel good song, but the lyrics are kind of like, yeah, you can be up to no good at the same time. And it's like, so it's kind of like you can go either way. So I was like, that's a pretty crafty song because it can be used as both. Not so much like, oh, we know it's just a bad guy. It's like you said, somebody's coming out. Somebody's got something to say because that bass hits and then everything else with the horns. And you're like, oh, wow, that's pretty good. So yeah. I liked it.
Good choice.
Good choice.
Good choice, my guy. Anything else you want to say about No Application Fee?
No, follow No Application Fee. I hope you get your act together, you guys, and play soon.
Yeah, we just went to see, well, as we're recording this, we recently saw Rome Apart play. We hadn't seen him in a long time. And then, yeah, Ryan was like, hey, have you guys heard from like the No App guys? Have they played anywhere? We're like, no, nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard out there for a band, getting band members and all that. Especially when you have like a horn section. It's like there's not a lot of horn players and then so it's tough. You should tell Caesar to join No Application Fee.
I know, I should be like Caesar playing my favorite band.
All right. Rudy, let's get to your song. Let us know what song you chose, why you chose it, your wrestler name, what you're wearing.
Well, let me start pyro. First. You said Denise was the heel. That made me the baby face. Wrestling term, everybody. Okay, that means a good guy. I had chose Cochise by Audioslave, and maybe it's my fault for being so familiar with the music video, but when you watch the music video, it starts off where they're coming in like a truck, like a military truck or like some sort of Jeep tank. They're just taking their time getting set up. They're going up the elevator. Everything's just, it's like a slow build. And then when the guitars hit, all you see is fireworks go off. And I thought, man, I thought about this, like, would I want a song that as soon as you hear the guitar, oh, you know, that's the Ultimate Warrior running to the ring. I was like, or would I want it to be a slow buildup? Like what Denise was saying, like where the lights can come out and I can, you know, shake hands with the crowd and then take my time to get to the ring. And I believe I looked it up and it was like 48 seconds till the actual music really, really kicks in. So like, that's decent enough time to get from the back to get to the ring.
I love how we like timed this out.
I thought about, because I was like, I'm thinking of longevity. Maybe I was overthinking it. I was like, I looked at the Ultimate Warrior and it was like over and done within 30, you know, I don't know, 10 seconds. He would run to the ring.
Oh, yeah, he ran. Yeah,
it was like over so quickly. And there's something to that, but there's something like I've seen videos with The Undertaker and Kane and they take their time walking. It's like there's no rush. Like, I'm going to get there. And I really appreciated that. And that's why I chose this. Obviously, I was a huge fan of Audioslave and Tom Morello's guitar playing. So to me, it just seemed a song that I wanted to use for my entrance theme.
Just a quick question. And maybe if we don't know, I'll look it up while we're listening to the song. But does anybody know what a Cochise is?
I always took it as a Native American name, like Geronimo Cochise. That's what I thought it was.
Oh, okay. All right.
I could be wrong, but that's what I've always understood. And going back to like older days, and there was a movie that I liked when I was growing up called Cooley High, and there's the main character's name is Cochise. So I don't know if it's, I doubt it's him, but I think it's I could be wrong. I think it's, I don't know what it is actually.
We'll look it up. But I think you're pretty close. All right, here we go. We'll be right back.
What I also did too is I believe I was really taking the topic seriously and overthinking it. I not only did I think about the 48-second buildup to get to the ring, but if you watch the video when the song is ending after Chris Cornell says, "So you won't feel the pain," and the drummer stands up in the video and he's pouncing on the drums, and that's how it the outro, and then it just. And I thought, man, if I was lucky enough to win the match, they could play that part of the song.
Yeah, like,
So I'd not only have an entrance and that would get people knowing who I am. And if I was good enough to win, if they put me over, if Vince McMahon saw for me to win that night, then they could play the outro and people could remember. So I always felt that it was just a good song for me. And again, maybe I'm thinking too much into it because I like the video and has fireworks. And I thought, you know, the WWE, they're not the only wrestling circuit out there, but they have the fireworks. They have the big production. I thought, man, this would be a song that I think would be able to fit with that.
I dig that. I love how much thought you put into this. Really.
I take it serious. I really do. I really do.
I know what I want for my 40th birthday party.
We're going to have wrestling.
We're going to have a wrestling party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I'll do that.
Everyone's going to pick their theme song, and as they come down the driveway, you're going to play the song.
Well, the only question I have is, are we going to wear singlets like the Big Show? Are we going to wear the pants like the Undertaker? Or are we going to wear like the Triple H?
The Speedo?
What's going to be appropriate? Yeah.
I
can get black chonies and put The Rock on the back of it.
Dude, I know some people that would like have their wrestling costumes or just love wearing Speedos and would come in that. So,
yeah. We have to rent a little bouncy castle.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be the ring. So that was going to be my question for you, Rudy. In your rest, I don't know if you thought about this, but do you know how you're dressed as your wrestler? Are you in a Speedo? Are you in like a... Are you more covered up?
I've always had
the jorts?
Well, no. I've always had an appreciation for someone like The Undertaker, someone like Kane, where more, even though I'm a short guy, but like their size and their stature was pretty much set enough. I felt, well, maybe I could just work out enough where I'd come out, and, you know, it didn't matter what I was wearing, just look like a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been the Shawn Michaels cute looking guy, so maybe I can just be, you know, the bald headed buff guy.
I dig that. More like a Stone Cold kind of guy.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Yeah.
He's like, you know, his outfit's not much to talk about, but it's all his persona.
Yeah. He just had the black boots and the black vest, and that was it, and black trunks.
Well, there were the Steiner brothers and like the Bushwhackers with the kilts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To Rudy, you were pretty much right on the money there with Cochise. So we looked it up while the song was playing, and Cochise was an Apache chief born in 1812. His name never shows up in the lyrics, which has nothing to do with him. Audio Slave guitarist Tom Morello came up with the title based on the vibe of the music. He was reading about Cochise at the time, and he said Cochise was the last great American Indian chief to die free and absolutely unconquered. When several members of his family were captured, tortured, and hung by the U.S. cavalry, Cochise declared war on the entire Southwest and went on an unholy rampage, a warpath to end all warpaths. He and his warriors drove out thousands of settlers. Cochise, the Avenger, fearless and resolute, attacked everything in his path with an unbridled fury. This song kind of sounds like that. And I feel like it does.
Yeah.
It has a very like...
That's interesting to know about that song. I do like that when there's certain songs, they have a title and it's not really about what the title is, but it's still in the back of your head. Like, I think about it every time I play it. Like, what is that about? It doesn't mention anything about, you know, a Native American, you know, chief, but you're like, well, it's got to be about something because it's a powerful song. Like, it's got to have some sort of connection to it. So.
Yeah. I thought this is where you were getting at with that, which is like, there's some bands that the name of the song has nothing to do with the lyrics. And you're just like, like Smashing Pumpkins does this all the freaking time with like Mayonnaise, and you're all like, what the, and the Rhinoceros and like all these songs that you're just like, you never even say that in the song. And it makes it really difficult to remember the title of the song because you're like Bullet with Butterfly Wings. It's like, which one is that? It's like, oh, that's the Rat in a Cage song. It's like, well, why did they just name it Rat in a Cage? I don't know. Anyways,
one of my favorite songs, Smashing Pumpkins, is off the, I think the Gish album. Was that their album? Was that
that's theirs. Yeah.
And there's and the song, the title is never mentioned in the song at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think about even too. I mean, like Led Zeppelin, Moby Dick. Like, it doesn't sound like a whale, and it's John Bonham's just solo. It's like, okay, like You're like, well, when does the whale come in?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Did either of you guys ever play like the WWE video games back in the day? Well, back in the day, I guess it would have been like WWF, but.
I didn't play, like I had the game on N64, but I didn't really know how to play. Oh. Like, yeah.
Which one did you have? Warzone?
I don't remember.
No Mercy? No Mercy on the 64 was like really good. But anyways.
Yeah, I always liked the graphics on the Nintendo 64. I never had one. I don't think PlayStation was out then, but when I started gaming, I was more toward the PlayStation. I can't say they had great ones. I just love the graphics. They were like ahead of their time. They were like, you know, big and boxy, and they just look really cool on the N64, but I can't say I ever had a lot of gameplay with it.
Yeah. No, yeah. So I would play, going all the way back to the PlayStation. So while the 64 had like No Mercy and all that, PlayStation started having like the SmackDown series.
Yes.
I was always a little bit jealous of the 64 because it had better graphics. But one thing that the PlayStation could do that the 64 couldn't do is they could actually like have like actual video footage and stuff. So some of the entrances, like you would see like their actual video playing in the background, and you'd see like the little blocky like character, like quote unquote walking toward the ring, but it was just kind of like a single shot. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and then later iterations of the game, like when it moved over to the PS2 and stuff, you could make like your own wrestler and make your own entrance. And like, it was always so dope. And like, I would spend like hours like making my wrestler, and then I would make wrestlers for my cousins. And then we'd just like have a little like wrestling tournaments and stuff. I was really into it.
Yeah.
To this day, I still buy like the 2K WWE games when they go on sale, but I probably spent like an hour each time on each game where I'm just like, oh, okay. Yeah. So they look way better now, but I just don't have the time to make my own wrestler and do all that. And it's way better now. Like you could like put like the pyrotechnics, you could choose like the camera angles. Wow. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was just wondering if you guys were into that. Guess not. It's all good. It's all good. All right, with that, I guess we'll move on to my song. I guess I'll give a little bit of background on where my whole wrestling fandom started. So as the OGs will remember, I grew up in the slums of Mexico. And so back then, I remember it being like Sunday mornings. It was the weekend for sure. But wrestling was like on the weekends in the morning. So maybe after like weekend cartoons ended, it was like wrestling. And we would watch Triple A, which is like AAA or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just recently got bought out by the WWE. And they had an event last weekend as we're recording this. Because I guess it was like the first big event between like Triple A and like WWE and stuff. And they had it at the Forum. And Charles, who we know, like went to the event and he was like really into it and stuff. Anyway, so that's what I grew up watching. And it was a way like different production from like WWE. And I remember back in those days, like that's kind of like what people would like to complain about in Mexico. They were like, oh no, like wrestling in the US is nothing but like a soap opera, like it's like all theatrics and this and that. Because like in Mexico, it was like the guy would come out and then they would do like 2 out of 3 falls, and yeah, it was just straight up wrestling. And then you'd have like the guys with the mask, and then you had the guys with no mask, and then sometimes they would have matches where like you would put your mask on the line. So it was like mask versus mask, where it was like if the guy had long hair, it was like mask versus hair, and whoever lost, like you either lost your mask or they shaved your head. And it was crazy. And yeah, so I grew up with like La Parca and Octagon and Máscara Sagrada and El Perro Aguayo, who was basically kind of like Mick Foley, like Mankind. Because he would like, I mean, this guy was insane. Like he would get like cut up and like his forehead was all scarred up and it was gross. Yeah, so it was crazy. So that's what I grew up watching. And then I came here and then I would always just play wrestling with my cousins. And so we'd like play fight on the couch and do all the moves. And like, I remember my little cousin, Marisol, she was the smallest out of all of us. So it was easy to do like the moves on her, you know, so we'd like pile driver. That sounds weird. We would do the rock bottom. We would like, you know,
these
do
all sound weird.
We would do all the wrestling moves, right? Choke slams and stuff. And I think one time we had a video camera and we recorded like some wrestling, like a wrestling match or something. We were just wrestling on the couch. It was crazy. It was good times. And so that's kind of my background. And then much like you guys, like I didn't really get into like WWE wrestling until like the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And then I always remember, and oh, another reason I never really got into wrestling here is because for the longest time, it was only on cable.
Oh, yeah.
I think on the weekends, maybe they would have like the highlight show, like on Channel 5 or something, where they would kind of just have somebody going over the highlights of whatever happened during the week. But then SmackDown came on And that was on Channel 13, UPN, yeah, straight up. And like, I remember I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. We get to watch wrestling on TV. Like, it's freaking awesome. And then it was right at when The Rock kind of became really popular and started calling everybody like jabronis and candy ass and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my. And I always remember that lasting like a couple years. But then looking back on it, I think I don't know why, I was looking into it one day for some reason. And that was that whole like The Rock and jabroni and like shut your mouth and it doesn't matter what you think. That was like a couple months like span that like he really blew up and got big. And then after that, he moved on to like start making movies and stuff. And I always remember that lasting like way longer. But correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody's out there listening.
I thought it was a little longer too.
Yeah.
From what I recall.
Yeah. But I don't know. So maybe it was. My memory's not the best, so I will say that. But anyways, yes. So that was kind of like where I really got into it. And then I just kind of fell off. And then every now and then I would try to get back into it just to kind of see what was going on. And there was a while there where like, I guess it was more like PG, more for like the whole family. Yeah. And that was like when John Cena became really popular. And I was just like, ugh, like this is not my jam at all. And then now I think they're trying to make it more edgy again. Yeah. But I'm just like, yeah.
I wanted to go back to what you said, because I remember when you said about doing, you know, the moves on your cousin. I'm fortunate, me and my brother, me and Rick, we used to always, you know, when we were younger, seriously try to do the DDT to each other. So, you know, we'd get both stand up on the bed and I'd be like, relax your head. And I would get him like this. And I would like punch the, you know, slap the back of his head and try to snap him like into the mattress. And I'm just, thank God we never like, seriously snapped a neck. Yeah. Or, I mean, I never jumped off the bed. Like I knew not to do that, like, you know, off a bunk bed, but I would try like the DDT. And then we both learned, actually, it's not difficult, how to do the figure four leg lock. And it hurts when you put it in. And we'd always say the same thing, like, okay, we'll go slow. And if I say stop. And of course, you know, once you lock it in, I would, and he'd, hey, stop. And so we both learned how to do that. And other moves, and we try the camel clutch, you know, by the Iron Sheik, and, you know, and you're like just pulling their neck. I guess you're a young boy and you're like, it hurts. Yeah, so yeah. You know, but I'm just very fortunate that, you know, we never seriously got hurt or sent to the hospital, because you know, some of the things that came later on, like with the Hardy Boys or the table ladder and chairs, like, I mean, I would be frightened, if you know, to be a young man and somebody, you know, put a table have me jump off a ladder, like, nah,
jump off the roof or something.
Yeah or to try to emulate all the stuff that Mick Foley did. You know, it's like, it's insane. So I'm lucky DDT was about as far as we went.
This show is gonna have so many inappropriate out of context clips.
I do the moves on my brother. And then I remember around that same time, because we would only watch SmackDown because it was on regular free over-the-air TV, when the pay-per-views would come on, my uncle had like illegal cable. I was like, I remember one time I really wanted to watch one of them, and then so I went back there and I was like, hey, is it cool if we watch like the pay-per-view? It's gonna start like at 6 or whatever time it was. And he's like, oh yeah sure, come on down. But the thing that I forgot was that my uncle always had like the SAP on, which for those who don't know is basically like the Spanish alternate track.
Oh gosh.
And it was horrible. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? I was like, I don't want to watch this. So you just had like the Spanish announcers all like, I can't even do it. I can't even do it. Yeah. But yeah, they would just be like, I'm not gonna do it right. But yeah, it was just terrible. I was just like, oh man.
You did the hockey one pretty good.
Oh yeah, the hockey
I mean, one. Now, when I watch, me and Denise were talking earlier, I was like, when I watch old clips on YouTube, part of the excitement was the crowd and the announcing, especially Jerry the King Lawler, the way he would have his funny antics. But JR, yeah. I mean, JR, I you really appreciate the job that he did, because when he would announce, it was like, it made you believe what was happening in the ring was real, because the way he would talk about it.
Yeah.
For instance, there's a clip that I love on YouTube where they show Stone Cold and Triple H, they're going to supposedly beat up Lita. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure two you know, humongous dudes are going to beat up a girl, but he's like, this is not right. There's two grown men. They're ready to stomp her. And, they're ready to, and then all of a sudden the lights go down and then Kane's music comes out and he's like, oh, hold up. It's the Undertaker. And you're like, wow. And you get really immersed into, you know, what a great job these guys did.
Yeah. He sold it. Yeah. Cause you think about it and you're like, if he wasn't selling it that good, it would just look ridiculous.
Yeah.
You would just be like, what is this? Yeah, and then you just reminded me of like how dirty it got at one point. Where,
oh, yeah.
There was that one where like they had the bed in the ring and like Lita and Edge, I think, were going to start banging. Right?
Yeah.
And Jerry the King would always say puppies.
Oh,
and
he
was talking about breasts. And he's like, oh, look at the puppies. Puppies. And they would go too far with that stuff. And stuff he would do. And that's when Sable was out.
Yes.
And she would come out like topless and stuff. Denise and I were talking about that too. And I'm not trying to say, oh, we need to, you know, move forward and empower women. But I do like now that a lot of the women are taken serious, where back in the day, you were just a diva and you were just, you know, it was all about your skin and how skimpy your outfit could be. And now these girls, they put on a show, like Ric Flair's daughter, Charlotte Flair. And I don't know all their names, but I mean, they do some hardcore wrestling. So, and there's not just one. I mean, when I was watching it later on during the Attitude Era, I think it was Lita who was a high flyer, and I can't mention too many other people. Trish Stratus was around, but she was more like not as good, just more for her looks. But now, I mean, there's a lot of these women that really, really have made a name for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I guess back then, like the serious ones would have been like, Lita and like China.
Yes.
But China was just so like more like masculine that it was just like, oh, well, she's one of the dudes.
Yeah.
So that made sense. So yeah, I feel like Lita was the only one that you kind of saw and you were like, okay, yeah, she's like a legit, like, it's not like a gimmick. She's just like a legit.
Yeah.
Wrestler. Yeah. Now there's like so many.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Good times. Oh, right. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that, now when I've tried to go back and watch it, there's like so much freaking wrestling now. It's like you have Monday Night Raw, and then you have something on Tuesday, and then you have something on Wednesday, and then you have SmackDown. I don't know what day anymore. And then now pay-per-views are like Saturday and Sunday, I think. And you're just like, what the fuck? It's like 12 hours a week of wrestling.
And I don't know how long it's been now that WrestleMania is a 2-day event.
Yeah.
I think it started a few years ago where it's like 2 days, like day one, day two. And it's like everything is on Peacock now. Like first it was on the app.
Yeah.
And then it went to Peacock and there's no longer pay-per-views. And is NXT still big as well too?
Yeah. Like, that's like the Wednesday one, I think. Yeah.
I've tried to get back into it, and I don't want to say just because I'm older, but I'm kind of like, it's too much to keep up with. And I don't understand who's who anymore. And the only thing I'll like is when they bring back, you know, the older wrestlers and like, okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Stone Cold is here to do something, or The Rock makes an appearance, you know, whatever. But I think too now, like they overdraw things. Like it's like way, it takes a long time to build up to what they're getting at and what they're doing. It's not like, I don't know. Maybe everybody thinks they're, era and their time is the best, and I just don't think it's as good as it used to be.
Yeah, it's like SNL.
Yeah,
whichever like cast was it when you got into it, that's like you think that's the best cast or whatever. Yeah. I get that. And along those same lines, I do want to apologize to Charles if he's listening to this, because I feel like when he saw Denise's luchador purse, I feel like he really thought that we were still watching like currently,
because
he was like, oh yeah, and then I met so-and-so, then I met so-and-so, then I met so-and-so, and like half the people I was like, I have no idea who any of these people are.
So,
Charles, you know, we did like wrestling at one point, but we haven't been keeping up with it. So we apologize if we misled you with that. So hopefully we catch an event with him one of these days. Rudy, is that something you would be into, going to see like a, not like a WWE match, but there's a lot of like smaller promotions that come around. Like, would you be into going to one of those?
Yes, I actually, and I have been to big shows. I've been to the taping of Monday Night Raw along with SmackDown. I've been to, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 shows back in the day. I was telling Denise how a buddy of mine, really good friend of mine, back then, almost 20 years ago, he was one of the first people that I knew that paid $350 for a belt.
Oh my God. Those replicas?
But it wasn't a rinky dink. I mean, it had some weight to it. And he would put it on his shoulder. He wasn't a big dude. Big Daddy Michael. He wasn't a big dude. He'd put it on his shoulder and, you know, like he was like The Rock, and he'd, you know, adjust himself like, oh, you know, and we'd see maybe one, maybe two guys, and they'd be like, hey, you know, you spent the money too, huh? And it was like, and it's really, really a good time. But at the same time, I see these local shows, and I know they put almost like an up and coming band, they put so much effort into it because they don't have the crowd. I'd want to support that as well. Mm-hmm. Even if I have to pay, you know, $20, $30 to see it, I wouldn't mind attending an event.
Yeah. Along those same lines, did you ever meet any wrestlers back in the day? Like go to any meet and greets or anything like that?
Meet and greets? No. I want to say, I mean, I'm older, obviously. I believe the first show I went to, my dad took me to, I think we saw Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and I don't know if we like touched him when he walked by, or we just like waved at him. And that was about the extent of that. And I, other than that, I don't think that's what I vaguely remember is Jimmy Snuka. Cause like, hey, we got to say hello. And my brother yelled, I think like, do the flying, you know, whatever. He did the move. And we thought it's cause we said it, that he did. That's probably his finishing move.
Right.
But other than that, no. Oh, I did see Chris Jericho a Stryper concert. I went to see Stryper.
Right. Yeah.
He had some humongous legs. Cause I saw him. I was like, damn, that dude has some big quads. And it was Jericho. And I was like, dang, he's a big dude. Like, I don't want to say he was big in stature, but I was like, you can tell like he does something, because he was wearing Levi's and he had like tree trunk legs. But I don't even know if I shook his hand or introduced myself. I just kind of like, you know, waved from a distance, just acknowledge him.
Nice.
But that's about it.
Denise, I think you've had some run-ins with some legends. Is that so?
I just yes. Shared.
We have some photographic evidence.
Yes, please.
Of me and Goldberg?
Yeah.
Do I have to retell that story?
Oh my gosh, it's worth telling.
So my dad took me to meet Goldberg. I think he was at a Best Buy. And we waited outside in the hot sun. I had the Goldberg Who's Next t-shirt in like two sizes too big, because I was like a 99-pound like stick and this was like a size medium. And like we finally got to like the table to get his autograph, which we still have. Like I have it in the garage or whatever. We should hang that.
Oh, yeah.
And he just said like, did I tell it different? Hey, beautiful.
He told you, hello, beautiful.
Yeah. And I was just like, shut the fuck up. Like I was like, oh, thank you or whatever. Or
wait, why did you say shut the
F-? But in my head, I was like, I know what I look like right now. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I have no makeup on at this point. Because I'm like 13 or whatever, and I don't wear makeup. And
maybe he likes the younger ladies.
My hair was like all natural.
I was all sweaty from being out in the sun.
And probably my cargo shorts or whatever.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And my big old black Who's Next t-shirt.
Yeah.
That was way too big in a sports bra. Yeah, so. But I would like to see Mick Foley. Like, I would. Like,
Charles just told us he's coming around.
No, but I fucking hate Irvine. I hate the improv at Irvine.
Oh.
Yeah. But I would. I feel like he's a storyteller. Like, he's a good storyteller. I would love to see him do something. And it's just so expensive, like, to do those meet and greets or whatever. So, the one that Charles mentioned, it's coming up in August. It'll have just passed or whatever. It's Mick Foley doing stories, I believe, at the Improv in Irvine. But we've been there. It sucks. The parking sucks. The seating sucks. Like, if you don't get there early. And if you do catch, like, him at one of these, like, Frankincense or, like, one of these collectible shops, it's, like, $20 to meet him, but then it's $65 to take a picture and another $65 if you want him to sign anything. And I'm like, well, what would I mean, I have his book. We thought about maybe buying the Shannon and the Clams album, which he's clapping on
he
that.
He claps
album.
On a song.
Yeah, he claps on a song. And, like, they
so
give
we thought
him
it'd
credit.
Be funny to get him to sign like a record or something.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, I don't know if I want to spend that on McCoy.
YOLO, bro, YOLO.
Yeah,
also, you know, you're supporting
an older
wrestler, you know what I mean? He's still got some years
left. I know
left
he's
in him.
Still can working and stuff. I know, like, you know, but
Vince ain't taking care of him.
I know. And that's why I maybe would. I don't want to go to the improv though.
All right. Anyways, all right. So just Goldberg, that's the only guy you ever met.
Yeah, Goldberg's the only one that I ever met. And then right. I would like to meet
Did
Mick
you ever
Foley.
Meet anybody?
When we were at the airport in Mexico City coming here, we ran into this Mexican wrestler named Conan.
Okay.
And he was like a D-bag. And then I saw him and I was like, oh my God, that's like Conan or whatever. And then so like my mom's like, oh, go like ask for his autograph. And then I went and he kind of like brushed me off. Yeah, so I was like, all right, whatever. Yeah, that's the only one I ever met. Yeah. Sad times.
And then remember I wanted to go see Fozzy, Jericho's band.
Oh yeah,
but he's a Trumper, so I wouldn't support.
You can still say
was
hi.
It there? I think I bought two tracks off the one of the last albums that I really really liked a lot. I like his music.
Fozzy. And I don't think he even comes over here. I think we've checked. Are you sure? Last time I checked, he wasn't over here.
No,
he didn't come over here.
East Coast
or Texas or Middle East. I don't know.
Middle East. He goes to the Middle East.
Midwest. Like, I'm pretty sure he didn't come over here last tour.
Because I know they were pumping up Judas. That song. Like, it was for his entrance and people were singing along.
Oh, I think you had mentioned, like, because, yeah, I think he was going to come around and I think you had said, oh, let's go check it out, no?
I think so.
I thought so.
House of Blues, I think.
But that was, like, before the last time that he came. So, like, maybe. Okay.
Well, yeah, it was a while back. Yeah, but he does come around.
And then I remember he was happy because when Cobra Kai was picking up a lot of steam on Netflix, they used the song Judas in one of the episodes. And he's like, oh my God, you know, can't believe they used my song. Well, I'm sure they had to get permission for it first, but he's like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, I'll get to the final song of the episode, and that's mine. Along the same lines, I was just kind of like, I'm trying to think of a song that'll be like recognizable and people will get hyped up for and stuff. I was gonna do one song, but then I changed it up. I didn't want to go with this band because I brought them a bunch of times since the podcast came back, but I was like, you know what, Denise brought No Application Fee again, so I get to bring this band again. So I went with Divide and Conquer by Idols, and I think it works really well. It has a nice like driving beat, and the thing I liked about it most is it has a really long intro, so you could probably do some kind of like editing magic where it's just like the intro playing over and over and over and over and over, and then you never get to like the actual like lyric part. But and then it has like some grunting in it, so I feel like that works. And then I did add a little something at the beginning just to make it a little different, you know what I mean? But anyways, let's check it out. This is Divide and Conquer with a little edit by Idols.
Do you know where you are? You're in the jungle, baby.
Jam.
Very good choice.
Yeah. And what I like about it the most is it's aggro, but at the same time, if you've ever seen Idols play this song live, the bassist does this really like sexy dance.
Oh, yeah.
He just like moves his hips around. So I'm just like, if I wanted to be like an aggro wrestler, it would work. But also if I wanted to be like a sexy guy, like Val Venus or something, it also works. You know what I mean? So I was like, well, if I want to go the sexy route, I would probably be called the horny machine, you know, to pay tribute to my old elementary school days, which is weird to say, elementary school-aged kid being called the horny machine.
It was K-8.
Yeah, this is true. K-8. This is 7th and 8th grade, so it's fine. And yeah, and it would probably be like a Speedo, you know what I mean? And it would just be like real sexy.
I was thinking more Sting, like face paint and a trench coat.
Yeah, like, that's if I'm going to be more aggro. Weapon. That's if I turn heel at some point in my career, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it works. It has range is what I'm saying.
I definitely dig it. I'm glad you went with this one because you were going when we first like originally started talking about this, and he swears he doesn't remember this like as of this morning, but he said he's like, oh, I'd probably go with something like Guns N' Roses. And then I feel like that's why he put that clip of that reel in there.
Oh, yeah. So the thing that I added was the lady in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's some like Instagram reel that I came across. And like,
well, that's not part of the song.
No.
No, I like that because it's almost like certain songs that I like that are used currently, or not currently, but back in the day, like, are you ready? Like,
Yeah.
Like, they make a statement and you know, like, okay, something's going to happen, or make some noise. Yeah, X-Pac. Yeah, yeah. Like, you hear certain things. Like, that's when I heard that.
Like,
I was like,
you know me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, that I actually like that too. Cause it kind of gets, you know, who's coming out.
Yeah. You know, gets people hyped.
Yeah. It had a really good buildup. It almost reminded me, not like exactly, but it gave me the Knight Rider vibes. So it's kind of like it was a steady pace, and then it builds up. Like you said, you can kind of like go either way with it. So it was really good. I liked it.
Yeah. A lot of their songs are like that. They're just very like straight ahead, just like a lot of really good like backbeat stuff, like drum and bass, like just very like punchy. And that's one of the things that I like about idols too, is like, I've been trying to learn to play bass for like 5 years or something. And idols, like, their bass lines are so easy, but there's just like a lot of fun. They're just, because it's just like the E string, like the whole freaking song. You're just like, do. But yeah, they're punchy and they're good. They're fun to mess around with them. So yeah, check it out. Divide and Conquer by Idols. Check out anything by Idols. I freaking love Idols.
Yes.
So anyways, yes. Any last questions, comments, concerns about that jam?
No. Good. That was a good one.
All right, guys. Well, would you believe it? We made it through our 300th episode, technically. Whoop, whoop. So if you made it this far, thank you. We know there are a million different ways for you to spend your free time. And we just want to thank you for spending a few of those minutes with us. Rudy, once again, if people want to get a hold of you, if they want to share their sketch of their wrestling outfits or whatever, how can they do that?
Instagram at It's the Rude Dog. Facebook, I don't get on as much as I should. Rudy Menchaca Jr. But I mean, you know, it's rare that I add just people on Facebook. It's pretty much more for my friends. Instagram, I really don't care. You can follow me. But I do want to say that I think it was a good episode, because not to put any of us down, but I don't think any one of us are built for wrestling.
Are you getting there?
But what I'm saying is, but we had songs that overcompensate for our lack of height or muscles or whatever. Like, man, they got some killer songs though. It's believable.
Yeah. I should have ran this by you beforehand, but I know your brother, who has been on the old version of the Listening Party podcast, he's still running the extended family apparel.
Yes, we went through some issues. My cousin was in between jobs. He's in the company with us, and then when COVID hit, that, even though that was years ago in 2020, that kind of messed up some things. And then my brother, you know, it's serious for him. He has experienced PTSD when he was in the military, and he came back home, combat veteran. So I recently linked up with him the other day, and I said, hey, you know, people are asking, when are we going to bring out more gear? We have the materials set up. We have the ideas. We just have to get everything into place. I mean, I still wear our gear, but, you know, and people ask about it. So we're still active. Extended Family, you can find them on Instagram at Extended Family Apparel, I believe. And so you can look us up, and, you know, we're going to be active again. So, and I thank you guys throughout the years. We're always very supportive. All of our friends have been very supportive. That being said, before I forget, I do want to, even though I'm not doing shout outs yet, I just want to mention that I appreciate C-Flow. I listened to his episode before I came. Stephanie, these are the OPs, the original podcasters. That's Rod's term, but I listened to both of their episodes just to freshen up before I got here. And I was happy to hear my buddy C-Flow mention me and his episode, because I really appreciate him and his friendship. And I'm happy for him and you know, everything that he's doing with his life now.
For sure. And Denise, if people want to get a hold of you and maybe send you some pictures of wrestlers that they've met throughout the years, where can they do that?
If they want to send me pictures like of their wrestling speedos, like then that's fine. And if you guys want to be invited to my 40th birthday party with the wrestling entrance, you have to do your wrestling entrance, though. Like, you have to dress up.
If you're not dressed up, you'll get
money. That really would be funny. That would be a good idea.
We wanted to have that. We were supposed to have that, but I think something happened.
COVID.
We were supposed to have Rod's USA party when he got his citizenship.
Oh, that's right.
And he didn't want to do it. And I bought like a freaking American flag button down in the kids section.
Oh yeah.
In the little boy section.
We're gonna have to have like a multiple party thing.
Yeah. If you don't, so it's either USA or
or wrestling.
And yeah, and we were supposed to have a wrestling one, but I don't know what happened. Or maybe we did. Or
oh Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you know how we would have a lot of themed parties? Mm-hmm. Like, Denise would always have to make it a theme for whatever reason.
Shut
so
up.
I think, yeah, wrestling was supposed to be one, but we never did it. But
I forgot what happened. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but we had a lot of fun during the ugly sweater parties. And I think towards the end, we started getting creative and people bringing, you know, outrageous outfits. And I think it'd be a really good time to have a birthday party wrestling theme.
Yeah.
And whoever brings the best outfit, you know, best intro, whatever, you know, it'd be pretty good, pretty
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, yeah. We got to plan that for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. We have, because this will be out for my birthday. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it might have already passed. So
No. It's going to be out September, the first Monday of September.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, then there you go. I guess hit up Denise for details. All right. And if you want to get a hold of the show, once again, you could do that via email, feedback@lppod.com, or hit us up on Instagram @thelppod. If you want to check out more podcasts that Denise and I have produced in years past, head on over to talkingishard.com. Rudy, thanks again. And yeah, we hope to see you at the wrestling party.
All right. Bring your trunks.
All right.
That's a good song.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're good, dude.
They're good, but they just don't play it.
Yeah.
It's a homie.